Well, in podcast 1032, podcast 1032, it's time to talk about 2022 predictions. It's that time of the year again. In between Christmas and New Year's, there is a sudden proliferation of, the news and review stuff is one thing, but then we start into the predictions. We talked to 7 economists. We talked to 14 sociologists. We talked to 5 futurists. We talked to 6 politicians. It sounds like the 12 days of Christmas, where everybody offers their predictions. What's going to happen? What's not going to happen? But I can tell you one thing. I am not going to make 2022 predictions in this podcast. Haven't done a freewheeling, easy talker podcast in a while, so we're not going to make predictions because they're BS anyway. We're going to talk about just, I'm outside today, and it is a gorgeous day here in Quartzsite, Arizona. We're going to talk a little bit about being a nomad and what the experience is like, and I'm going to just, I do these easy talker podcasts just kind of to consolidate because this is not necessarily the time of year to do real deep, especially with everybody at the end of their rope and everything else. We'll talk about it all in podcast 1032, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, if you found the Bob Davis Podcasts from visiting thebobdavispodcast.com, you can subscribe to the RSS feed right off the page. You can also listen to each individual podcast. There's a player at the bottom of the blog. And there's streaming audio if you want to do it that way. Also, we're available at Spotify, Google Podcasts, Alexa, Audible, all over the place. And, of course, the granddaddy, iTunes. Thank you, Wayne Nelson, for donating $25 to the Bob Davis Podcast. That goes right in the tank. If you want to do that, go to thebobdavispodcast.com. Look down the right side of the page, the right column. You're going to see a picture of Mobile Podcast Command. Look for the yellow oval that says donate. Click it. Takes you to PayPal, and I appreciate whatever you want to donate. It's great. Shout out to the guys at 36th and Lynn, the independently owned and operated refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in South Minneapolis. So independent refueling stations get a better deal on fuel. They pass it along to their customers. That's why they're busy. The big deal is with 36th and Lynn, the store is full of great locally sourced products, coffee, burritos, candy, whatever. So remember 36th and Lynn next time you want to get a better deal on fuel or you need a cup of coffee. It's good coffee. For more info and great 36th Lynn events, check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Predictions for 2022, whether wherever you find them, let's just say that, really don't touch us out here in the land of the nomad. Because of many reasons, I'll talk about them a little bit in this podcast, but they really don't touch us. Because we're on a different frequency. And generally that frequency, and I've noticed this, talked about it a little bit in some podcasts, is a very high vibration. If you understand human vibration, if you understand just sort of where everyone, when everyone is feeling good and you're around people who are feeling good, looking out for each other, having campfires, things of that nature, it's generally a very high vibration. There are some little things that mar it occasionally, but we all kind of make do with what we have, and we all kind of just coalesce around things that are difficult or things that need to be managed, and we are having, in general, a little bit higher level experience, I think, than people who are back in the world. This is not to say one is better than the other. I'm just telling you, it's different. I have been sitting out here in the desert longer than I really shouldn't say how long, because you're not supposed to, but so far so good. I might have to move. But I've been sitting in one spot, and this is the first time that I have done this where I've just decided I am not traveling anymore. And the reason for not wanting to travel was the high price of fuel. It is starting to roll over. I predicted it. If you go back to the Bob Davis podcast where I talked about inflation for nomads, there was an awful lot of talk about inflation sort of ending this effort. And so I just decided, one of the things I decided, one of the orientations, I wasn't going to expose myself to these price increases. And the way that you do that is you just make adjustments. And my adjustment was I pulled off the road and I came here at Quartzsite to a campground not far from town. I'm not going to say where. If you've driven by, then you know where I am. And I thought, well, I'm just going to stay here because I thought it would be a couple of weeks. And it's been quite a little bit longer than that, but it is starting to roll over now. And as I predicted, people are going to start rejecting higher prices, and they are in some degree or another. So that's really as far as I'll go in terms of economics or politics or any of those things. But I've been sitting here, essentially squatting out here and having a really great time. One of the reasons I haven't left is because I'm having such a great time with, we have a great camp host out here. We have a great group of people out here. We're getting together for campfires and having a great time talking and singing Kumbaya around the campfire. Just sharing stories and opinions. And one of the things I've noticed is if you've traveled for a length of time, you don't really interact with other people. You don't talk so much. For one of the things I've noticed about nomads, when they come to a place and they stay for any length of time, everybody wants to talk when everyone else is talking, because we have been by ourselves for so long that everybody wants to talk. So we are just having a really great time. And generally once a week somebody says, well, we should probably have a fire, and what are we going to eat? And then there's this whole discussion of, well, let's have this or let's bring this, and people bring different types of food, and we all sit around and we eat and we talk and we have a good time squatting out here in the desert, and it's great. And I don't have any desire to leave right now. Certainly don't need to go where it's cold, and I know it will be cold because I've traveled all over the country at different times of the year, especially this time of the year. Last December, I was high up in the mountains in New Mexico / Arizona, right on the border, right by Portal. And I think it's called the Cave Creek campground over there. And it was really cold because it's at 6,000 or 7,000 feet, and it was just ridiculously cold. This is very pleasant. During the day you get this very nice warm sunshine. At night, it starts to cool down, 8:30, 9 o'clock. You got to be by a fire. But in the evening, it's as the sun sets, the temperature is really nice. People start lighting their fires, and people congregate, or they don't, by somebody's fire somewhere, and start sharing stories, talking about rigs, all that stuff. And it's wonderful. So I don't know that I would. I mean, I think traveling is great, and I love to travel, but I am not going to pay $6 a gallon for diesel, and I'm really not going to pay $4.30 a gallon for diesel. And it's just starting to come down. $3.97 at the Chevron in Quartzsite right now. Shout out to the Chevron. The other thing I've discovered, I talk a lot about truck stop showers. Well, here in town, there's a laundromat that has $10 showers. So we can go and take a $10 shower, and that's great while you're doing your laundry. So making a lot of friends, getting to know a lot of people, and really being amazed at how there is this high vibration. It's a really good feeling. And people who've come to visit me have commented on it, like, wow, people are really up, and it feels really good out here. Now, I don't know if that's just this little circle here where we are all hanging out, but I don't think so. I think it's generally across the board with people who've been out here. And I've also learned a ton. I'm learning a ton about RVs and the problems with RVs. I'm learning a ton about people who do RV. I'm learning that there are people out here, and I almost didn't believe it, but it's true. There are people out here who have been out here during the winter months at Quartzsite and out on the road for more than 20 years around here. And you don't know if you're going to meet them, but when you do, it's just amazing. And the things that they've learned and can share are unbelievable. Met a guy by the name of Rusty, who worked up in Alaska, worked on the salmon boats, or whatever they are, the crab boats, and did a bunch of other odd jobs up there. And now he's out in a ProMaster van, and I couldn't believe he first of all, he had redone the inside himself, and he was a craftsman, so you could see that he had redone this thing himself. But the level of organization, now he's been doing this for, you know, years, like decades, and his level of organization was very impressive. My level of organization is just not that good. I haven't quite figured out where to put everything, and there's still things now I'm going to have to start getting rid of. You see people with various types of rigs, and you're like, how can you do that and there and what? And then you see how they've got things organized, and you're like, wow, this is pretty nice. And the basic tools that people have. And as you know, my gig here is really to observe and to comment on this little society out here, if you want to call it that, in the land of the nomad, and not pass judgment. And I'm also not even qualified to tell people, oh, you need this or you need that. I'm still learning those things. So even with all the traveling since 2014, this is the first time that I've ever sat down and stopped down and fully devoted myself to getting to know people that I don't know. So I'm not at a friend's house. I'm not, you know, this is a whole different thing. And it's really great. It's a great vibration of just pulling into a campground and there you are. And I'm just having a great time. So we're going to talk a little bit, I guess, as we continue about the things that go on here and what it's like and the things that I've learned that I can share in the second half of this podcast. I see a lot of RVs out here that do not have South Dakota plates, and so they have not availed themselves to the services of privacypost.io. They also have relatively weak and not necessarily great methods for communicating. So what does Privacy Post do? First of all, they can get you virtual mail service, which means they can send your mail on or scan it and send it to you. They can get you South Dakota residency and legal business addresses, which means you can register your RV in South Dakota where the tax situation is a lot better and you'll save a lot of money. Privacy Trustee Management, also the best mobile data VPN hardware that allows you to communicate pretty much from wherever you are at cable modem speeds. And it's great. It's called the Pep Wave. It is behind a secure VPN. Click on the Privacy Post banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. It takes you to privacypost.io. They've got a number there. Call them and ask them about all of those things because they can really help you out. Privacy Post at privacypost.io. You know I'm keeping track of the world, right? I think it's a artifact of being on the radio every day. So I get up every morning, make my coffee. I'm putting butter in my coffee now, by the way, and it's amazing. Somebody told me years ago, you should put butter in your coffee, and I was like, yeah, sure, okay. But it really is amazing. And keeping track of the world, just checking on headlines, making sure, and looking things up, looking up sources, and doing what I always did. So I continue to be connected. But as I was fond of observing before I hit the road, there is an obsession with predicting the future out there. Most of the time, they are grossly wrong, whether it's financial, social, political, you know, you just can't know the future. And I noticed this, and I did this a little bit when I was doing talk radio, but it's really reached a point where it's ridiculous. Almost all of these outlets, And they do it almost every day. Here's what happened, and here's what it means, and here's what's going to happen. We are obsessed with predicting what's going to happen before it even happens. But out here, none of that touches us, partially because we kind of keep track of time the old way. The sun, the moon, the stars. So during the day, I'm well aware of where the sun is, and I know the track of the sun. I'm actually facing the sun, which is actually to the south, and then moving over to the west. It doesn't get very high in the sky because it's winter, and so I know what time it is without even looking at the watch, because high noon, that sun is, you know, basically I'm looking straight out and up about 10 degrees, and that's the sun. So you tell time with the sun, and you're going to be right within 15, 20 minutes or a half hour or whatever. After a while, you spend enough time out here, you start to tell time with the sun. And then at night, you tell time with the stars. Where's the Big Dipper? Where's the moon? You know, where's Venus? We know where they are when the evening begins and the you know, the western sky is purple or orange or deep red. And when those stars come up, we see where those stars are. And then at night, when you get up in the middle of the night, you don't look at your phone. You just look up and you go, oh, it must be like 3 o'clock in the morning. It must be like two. The moon's over here. The Big Dipper's over there. And you keep track of the time at night with the stars. And it's usually clear, so there's no need to look at the watch anyway. And of course, when somebody says, well, how long have you been there? My response is usually a couple of moons, literally. I mean, I'm telling time with, I can remember where I was on the full moon in August and September and October and November and now this full moon. And that's how I'm determining how much time is passing, because time passes in a different way and there's no need to predict the future. And it's not because every day is the same as every other day, because they're all different. Some days you go into town, some days you take a hike, some days you hang out with some people, some days there's a fire, some days there isn't, whatever. So telling time with the moons in terms of when the month is beginning and ending is actually a surprise to me. I didn't expect that it was going to be that way, but that's the way people kept time before they had clocks. And I guess that's my way of saying we don't need clocks, because in some ways it does. I don't have to be any place at a certain time. You know, if I decide I want to do a podcast, well, then I get out the mics and fire up the podcast sitting in the sun. I don't think, oh, I've got to do a podcast at 2 p.m. I got to be on the air at 6 a.m. I got to do this at 4 p.m. This time is passing. That is a whole different way to live, and it's a very relaxing experience, even more not prone to feeling the need to predict the future. So time doesn't have the same meaning here. And and I think I speak for everybody, we have an oddly non-denominational faith. A lot of people talk about faith, and they're not talking about it in a religious way. So there's a different meaning to faith or being quote-unquote spiritual. And I think part of it is the fact that there is an odd awareness of the surroundings. An odd awareness of nature and time doesn't get measured the same way, and so it doesn't move the same way. December seems like it's going on forever for me, even though it's progressing rather quickly. I do have some observations that I want to share. I think they're interesting. If you're interested in the van life, nomad, RV, whatever you want to call it, thing, I was actually surprised to hear there was a woman here, Kim. She just got out of the Air Force, and she invited us into her RV, really nice Class A that was short. You don't see too many Class A's that are like 24, 25, 26 feet. And she had all kinds of systems in there because she was an Air Force IT person, and she just retired. And she referred to this whole thing as a movement. And so my biggest concern is that this becomes a thing, quote unquote. Now, I've been doing this for 25 years, so I don't know what the feeling is about something becoming a thing, where people are like, oh, then there's this thing called being a nomad, and there's a whole movement of people being part of a movement. And I suppose that being a nomad can be a movement, but what I worry about is a hierarchy. One of the things I noticed when I went to the RV Entrepreneur Summit, and I touched on it in that podcast a little bit, but I didn't get the response that I was really looking for, because I think it was taken as almost an insult when I asked Heath and Alyssa, who put the summit on, you know, they keep referring to this as an industry. You know, aren't you a little concerned that something that is beautiful, that it's disorganized, it's anarchic, is suddenly we're organizing it. We're calling it a movement. We've got a hierarchy of people that do video and provide, for lack of a better term, services, and those people are necessary. I mean, there's a guy driving around here. They call him the ambulance man, I think, or the campulence man. And he goes around and he puts solar on top of ambulances and works with people who have ambulances. There's a bunch of ambulances here. And I think that's a service, right? And he's got a YouTube channel. But we were sitting around, and inadvertently, I don't think anybody meant to do this, but inadvertently, everybody was sitting around talking about how many viewers and, you know, so-and-so's doing this great podcast. She doesn't make any money yet, but, or they, how many subscribers this, or she had this many, and then she stopped editing her videos, and it dropped to such and such. And I said, geez, I feel like I'm at a broadcaster's convention. And I felt the same way at the RVE Summit, which is, I became a nomad to get away from that kind of nonsense of that everybody's talking about their media. And I can't complain. I'm doing the same thing, but I don't really care how many subscribers or feeds. I'll take them. I want them. But I've learned not to become obsessed with how many feeds you're getting or how many people are subscribing to your YouTube channel. And a lot of people out here are doing YouTube. And this is forming sort of a media ecosystem for nomads that worries me. Instagram, YouTube, and to whatever extent, and I don't know, I hope it's lesser. Facebook, I think a lot of them started on Facebook and have sort of moved over to YouTube or whatever. Very few people are doing an audio-only podcast, which I find fascinating. So that means I'm going to have to start putting stuff up on my YouTube channel, not full videos, but just reminders to everybody, hey, I got a new podcast. This is where you can find it. Because everybody out here, the first thing they do is, oh, are you on YouTube? No, I'm not on YouTube. I don't want to shoot video all the time. I don't want to be walking around with a camera interviewing people, because that's not what I do. The anarchy of this experience, which means no central head, no hierarchy, and we really, I think, and I shouldn't say we, because I'm just going to say for me, I want to avoid the recognition of a hierarchy on myself personally, that because I think that's defeating the purpose of what this is all about. The hierarchy is part of the world. You know, you live in a community and there's a mayor and a city council, and if you want things done, you got to call the highway department, and yeah, this is how you have to do this, and this is how you do. This is an anarchic experience where you pull in, you hang out, you hang out till the ranger tells you got to leave or until you have to move or whatever. Everybody seems to be just kind of doing their own thing. And this is what makes it this incredible high vibration experience. The human need to codify, organize, analyze, put a number to everything, communicate using all these different tools and becoming quote unquote famous in the process is what worries me. And I mean, that's an editorial judgment. I'm not saying it's a fact. My experience with most of the people out here is that they appreciate the information that they get from various people. But what I said when one of our friends said, you know, this person doesn't have that many. I mean, I burst out and I said, geez, I mean, I hope this feels like we're at NBC or something, or that we're at some broadcaster's convention talking about who's winning. And that's what we all were trying to escape. And then somebody else said, well, I do it because I want to communicate with my family. And I put stuff up so my family can figure out where I am and they can watch the YouTube channel and figure out. I'm not doing it for that reason. And that's fine. And I think, hey, you can do whatever you want. Don't let me poo-poo whatever you are doing if you're out here with your YouTube channel or whatever it is. I mean, God forbid. But I think it's interesting, the tendency is more, and I do believe that if you'll pardon the use of the term, the movement, if you will, at least for the time being, is including more and more people who simply have decided, it's not that they can't afford to live in a house. It's that they've decided, I'm not going to expose myself to, you know, what is something like 30% of the inflation is increased housing costs, whether it's rent or whether you're buying a house that's more expensive. they're selling their houses and getting out because they don't want to expose themselves to that kind of cost. So by choice, more and more people are hitting the road in various types of vehicles. I met some people from Minnesota yesterday who had a 45-foot Class A that was gorgeous, and they he was worked in construction and actually construction supervision and in, I believe, in the oil fields for a while. And he was like, all of that bought this, and we sold our house, and now we're just doing this. And so they come in all shapes and sizes. Some people in vans, some people in 45-foot Class A, you know, they're literally rolling houses. They may as well be rolling apartment buildings. And some people towing vehicles behind them, some people in an old beat-up ambulance or van or something to that effect. And I kind of want to keep that. I hope with the addition of people, it never becomes a thing. It never becomes organized, codified, numbered, and with a recognized hierarchy. That's why I don't like traveling in caravans. I don't get it. Why would you want to travel? Now, I know why people do it. Partially, it's built-in society. Secondly, it's secure. And there's a lot of women doing this, and they do it because it's a secure environment. That kind of a thing. But I wouldn't do it because, you know, I want to experience this singularly because of the anarchy of it that I think is really great. So, you know, this is not the world, you know. This is, and the way I describe that, so this is where I came up with this when I was at the RVE Summit, is, you know, you had this dream. You were going to go, you were going to get in an RV, and you were going to drive across the country. And you were going to go and visit all these great places, the parks and so forth. You're going to have this incredible experience, and you did it because life back in the world was a nightmare. Bad things happening in your community, people too close, weird neighbors, high and increasing costs for housing, you name it. You know, whatever your complaint about living back in the world is, and this, by the way, you know, there's people that enjoy living back in the world, and good for them. This isn't a judgment about that, and I always feel like I have to make that disclaimer. But for us, it's getting away from that. We are trying to get away from that. So you had this dream because you were going to get away from the nightmare, and then you brought the nightmare to the dream. And I think that's something that we want to avoid. And I'm certainly going to try to avoid it myself. But I find that's interesting. Suddenly, that was a surprise. That was the last thing I learned while we were singing Kumbaya around the fire, that everybody had a YouTube channel of some kind or another. And I'm kind of a laggard because I have just an audio-only podcast. Why do you do just only audio? Well, you know, it's an audio experience for me. You know, I can't do what I want to do. I'd have to work even harder to do video because I'm a perfectionist. I'm going to put a video up in a certain way. It's going to have to be perfect. So I just do audio because, so you're listening to this podcast and you might be out here, you might be back in the world, and you've got a certain visual perception of what it sounds like and what it must be like and what it must look like. And that's a pristine perception. That's a pristine idea. I don't want to mess with that by saying, here's the video, right? I suppose if Jesus comes back, I'm going to want to get video of that, but everyone else will too. We'll all get our phones out. You know, put your phones down and dot, dot, dot. So I like the audio medium because, you know, if you close your eyes and just listen to the sounds and everything else, you have a visual picture of where you think I am and what you think I look like and what you think I'm doing. And I would prefer, I think that's probably a much stronger impression to a certain degree than watching video. Plus, you can think about it while I'm talking. So that's why I do audio only. I'm not a big fan of video. Never have been. Always have been a radio guy and fascinated with the spoken word, fascinated with making radio stations sound a certain way to create a certain impression, producing shows and everything else. And I don't think that's ever going to go away. So that's why I do just audio. Well, it is time to make some coffee and put some butter in it. It's late afternoon. Got to start kind of getting ready for dinner. Might want to pull some logs out, get ready to start the fire. So, yeah. I guess in relation to all those things about the human need to codify and number and organize and communicate, can we just let it be? Do we have to make predictions and organize and codify and create hierarchies and communicate and talk about how it should be and shouldn't be? And why can't we just do that around the campfire and just let it be? Whether you're working from home, working in an office, or you're on the road, you know you have to move. You need to get up and move. It's so important to your health. And for that, let me introduce you to BU. BU gives a powerful toolbox to you to help you be your best self right where you are all day long. How do they do this? Well, a couple weeks ago, I did a session with Juliet, the woman behind BU, and she demonstrated how the whole thing works. So you can do these exercises, which are actually, you can do them in a chair, and you do not have to be, as I like to say, Mr. and Mrs. Exercise, and they will help you be grounded, be centered, be calm, be stronger, be free, and be you. And they can do it for you and the whole team through Zoom. So if you're a business owner and you want to make sure everybody in the office at least at different times of the day, or maybe all at once, does the BU thing, you can do it on a Zoom conference, and it's great. Visit BU Enterprises for more information, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Yeah, no predictions from this angle, because God knows that I have no idea. I couldn't tell you what I think is going to happen, because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody knows. We're living in a very interesting age when things are just completely up in the air. So just let it be. Thanks for listening to podcast 1032, the Bob Davis Podcast, 2022 predictions, which we did not do.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see.